Yeah, I guess I'm not being clear. I'm not asking you today so much, you know, what you want to happen as I'm asking you what you think might happen here. And with Chipotle Gate, it indicates to me what Kirk Cousins said to Mr. Blank in their meeting, which is, I want to play. And so if he really does want to play and he's going to meet with Kevin Stefanski and Jimmy Haslam up in Cleveland, then okay, then we would need to talk to Cleveland. There are three teams right now that are looking at Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, okay? Those three teams are the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Minnesota Vikings. Because those three teams, you really get a sense that, you know, Pittsburgh obviously at this point needs a quarterback. Cleveland obviously needs a quarterback. And apparently Minnesota is not ready to, you know, jump both feet in on J.J. McCarthy. So there are options out there, but if Kirk wants to be so bitter as to hang on because he doesn't want to get burned by the team. See, again, he goes to Cleveland because what's he worried about? He wants to play. He doesn't want Cleveland to draft Shedeur Sanders, and then he wants to make sure, okay, they drafted Abdul Carter, fine, I'll sign with them. Okay? You know, but, you know, so in theory, you could do a draft day trade, and Kirk says, look, I will drop my no-trade clause, you know, effective after the Browns make their first pick. You know, I guess in theory you could do that and preset a trade here. But if you're the Atlanta Falcons, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I want to do the trade now, this week. And so if Kirk is comfortable with the fact that they're not going to take Shedeur, that they're going to take Abdul Carter, I'm going to sit with his agent, Mike McCartney, and I'm going to say, look, if you guys are comfortable with this, let us do the deal. Then I'm calling up Jimmy Haslam and saying, okay, this is what I want. You're taking his $27.5 million contract. Not us, you. You've got the money, you take the contract. We'll eat the $10 million roster bonus, but you got to take the $27.5 million, and we want your third-round pick. That's what I'm doing if I'm the Falcons, but we'll see how they play it. Let's go to Fred, who joins us on the waitfor.com hotline. Fred, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. So I got a couple points to make, and let's make it clear. I've been with this team since General Lee was QB1, all right? So I have lived and
mostly died. Good old Bob Lee. Bob Lee. Yeah, I got you.
Yep. You know, I was there for Eugene Robinson and Jeff George.
Yeah, I know, right?
And right. Rasheed. So yep. I've been there for all of it, all right? So this comes from a fan. First of all, you got conflicting you got a conflict. You got the management, of which wants to maximize, you know, the money that's already spent, the draft picks that's already on the hook for Cousins. But if I'm in that locker room, and I've never been in a locker room, I'm going to be honest about that. I've never been, you know, team sports. But if I'm in that locker room and I see that dude, I'm like, you know, it's funny. You're always running your mouth, costing the team draft picks and everything else with it. But the one time you should have opened it, you didn't. You kept your mouth shut about your injury, and you cost me a playoff share. You cost everybody in this locker room a playoff appearance. We don't give a damn what you want or what you think. If I'm Arthur Blank, I can't believe he even took that meeting. So if I'm Arthur Blank, I'm going to be like, look here, sport. This is exactly what you're going to do. You're going to keep your mouth shut as hard as that is for you. And we're going to machinate some kind of deal here, and you are going to go along with it. And nobody cares if you're going to be the starter or not. You must be pretty soft if you think you can't beat out a rookie. All right, so that's all I have to say about that. Thanks, John, for taking my call.
That's Fred. He joins us as well, 404-726-0929. All right, Fred wanted a vent. But again, I'm going to go back to, I don't buy any of this Ian Rappaport not NFL related. Ian Rappaport not NFL related. Just use, so, why would he go to Cleveland? Cleveland! Now, there was a big podcast, and there's a big popular YouTube podcast. It involves some people whose initials might be Charles Robinson and Frank Schwab. And they were on their podcast, and they were saying, I think it was Robinson, I don't know why anybody's making a big deal out of this. I ran into Kirk Cousins randomly at Disneyland a few years ago. It wasn't like he was talking to a team down in Florida. As if that makes any logical sense. And nobody called him on it. I would have called him on it. I would have said, what the hell are you talking about? A, it's Disneyland, so people do just generally go to, I don't know, Disneyland with their families. It's a destination that you go to. And at that time, I'm guessing he wasn't, I don't know, beefing with his team about wanting to play and go somewhere else, or meeting with the owners of the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Dolphins or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not that I have any proof that he met with the Browns. I don't. But logic would dictate. He went to randomly to a Chipotle in Cleveland. And then when he goes there, he takes a picture with the staff. They post it. He comments on it. Kirk Cousins commented on it. Hey, I like some chicken with my salad at Chipotle. He commented on it. And then his agent comes out and says, who knew how much a visit to Chipotle could blow up a guy's phone? All his agent has to do is say, no, Ian Rappaport's right. It's not NFL related. He's there in a charity event. Everybody cool your heels. He didn't say that. All he said was, hey, this kind of blew up. His agent didn't know it was coming. Of course his agent knew. The agent probably with him. Hell, for all I know, the agent took the picture. I don't know. Why would he be in Cleveland for a guy who sat with Arthur Blank and said, I want to play? And Arthur said, yeah, I don't know about that. We'll do what's in the best interest of the team. Why wouldn't he cut his name? If he's meeting with Cleveland, he's there to do two things, right? One, to ask Kevin Stefanski, who he knows, who he worked with in Minnesota, hey, listen, how bad do you want me here? And are you going to draft Shedeur Sanders? And you got to look me in the face, because he may have said to the Falcons, are you going to draft a quarterback in the Falcons? You know, I don't know. Did the Falcons say no, they weren't? I don't know. They probably didn't even have, I'm guessing they did not have a conversation about that. That's my guess, okay? Because I think Kirk Cousins just assumed that they're paying me $100 million, $180 million over 4 years, well, you know, that they're not drafting a quarterback. They got me. And he feels like he got burned, which is why he didn't want to come out. Because he didn't want to come out of the games, even though he was hurt, and that's why he was not telling the truth about how bad he was hurt until he goes to the NFL Network, because he knew that the Falcons believed that Michael Penix was a franchise quarterback, and the second that he came out, he was never getting the job back. So he got petty about the whole thing and played hurt and cost the team and then sold them and threw them under the bus on the NFL Network after the fact. Now he goes to Cleveland and poses at a Chipotle as if, I'm not meeting with Jimmy Haslam and Kevin Stefanski. I'm not over at the Browns facility. No, I'm going to a barbecue in Avon and a Chipotle in Westlake. See me? I'm just making a tour of fast food restaurants in the greater Cleveland area. Mm-hmm, sure. Let's go to Al. He's on with John. Al, welcome to the show. You got to believe it. You got to go a long way, Al, to believe any of this stuff.
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I sympathize with you. I moved here in 1980 when I was in the seventh grade, and I don't have a thick Southern accent, but I'm Southern through and through. And sometimes people try and call me out, too. So I feel you, man.
Yeah.
So I think these veteran quarterbacks are overplaying their hand a little bit, because the leverage they have is really before the draft. Because if I'm a quarterback-needy team, I need some kind of guarantee into the direction of where I'm going, headed into the draft, so I actually have a plan. These guys like Aaron Rodgers and Kirk, who feel like, oh, yeah, we're going to push for after the draft, you know, they might find that these opportunities are no longer there. The Falcons have no motivation to move him quickly other than to get a draft pick, right? I mean, you know, and they have to undo the damage that Denver did with Russell Wilson in the way people perceive business being done. Yeah, nobody's going to want to eat these contracts the way Denver did last year, and so they have to reset the market with that. So, I mean, Kirk is, you know, he's not in a great place. He needs to, you know, be a better partner if he wants to move, and, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, he wants to, you know, the old have his cake and eat it too. He wants to play, yeah. He wants to start, he wants the Falcons to trade him, but he wants to, you know, make sure, you know, I'm not one inclined to defend Kirk Cousins, but he wants to make sure that he doesn't get Michael Penix again, okay? That's why he wants to wait till after the draft. Now, did you draft a Shedeur Sanders? Okay, I understand that, But what else would he be in Cleveland for except to ask that question? Right? Correct? He's in Cleveland to look at Kevin Stefanski and Jimmy Haslam and say, look, I don't want to get penixed again. I'll do this, but you got to guarantee me something. Somehow you got to guarantee me you're not going to Shedeur Sanders me. That's all.
Look, John, your Chipotle gate thing, I would get a 24-hour news cycle and this, that, and the other. You want to, but it really is more of a Cleveland thing than an Atlanta thing. It doesn't really affect us. I think what he's trying to do is show the Browns that, hey, there's a passion for having a guy like me, an accomplished player. Cleveland fans want this. This is the direction they want you to go. I mean, that's why he's up there doing it. It doesn't change because the Falcons, it's all about money at this point because he's already screwed us. So now it's really about the money.
Well, I think it's actually more about the draft pick.
Well, that too. But, I mean, you know, I mean, money and draft. I mean, it's all about the compensation that we can get.
Yeah, I mean, I would want Cleveland to take the whole. I would eat the $10 million contract bonus. But I would want Cleveland to take the $27.5 million. Yeah. And they have the money now that they've redone Deshaun's contract. But see, here's the thing with Cleveland, too, you have to remember, is that if they aren't going to Shedeur Sanders him, they redid Deshaun's contract. I mean, Deshaun Watson could theoretically still play in a year or two. I know that sounds weird, but he could.
I mean, hopefully they've structured in such a way that they could eventually cut him because, I mean, that's just an albatross. But, I mean, you know, here's what I will say about all this is, like, you know, the Falcons are going to need a backup quarterback, and they don't have any money really to pay for one. So regardless of when it happens, if there's an injury during training camp, whenever Kirk does go, whoever picks him up is going to have to eat enough of the contract that the Falcons can get a viable backup in.
Well, the Falcons have some money right now. I mean, they have some money right now. I don't know how much under the cap. I'd have to go look, but they may have 10 or 11 million. I mean, they have some money. They could go out and sign some guy for, you know, $2 million. I mean, they could go out and sign a Drew Lock or something. You know, I mean, they could do that. And that's all that's out there anyway. I mean, all that's out there is Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and a bunch of, you know, retreads. Man, that's all you want is you want a retread who can half play so that, you know, when you do eventually trade Kirk Cousins, you know, the guy isn't just walking in the door and, oh, my God, the guy's walking in the door. I would want to do that deal so that at least he's on the team, he's working out and playing with the players. I want to do the deal now, but I really want to do the deal less for the cash and more for the draft pick because the Falcons, in theory, you know, you play this little draft game. The draft's 26 days away. You're playing this little draft game in your head now of a first, a second, a fourth, and 2/7. Hey, how do I get a third? How do I get 2/3? Trade down in the first round. But if you get a third, that lets you stay at 15. You're not forced to trade down to feel like you have to get a third-round pick if you want to trade up in the second round. Do you follow me?
I do. And, you know, I'd even take a fourth at this point. With the depth that, Edge and the D-line, you know, just getting some more bodies in here would be great.
Appreciate the call. 404-726 Alley and Decatur. Stay there. I promise I'll get to you. We have conversations on this show. We can disagree. I have with a couple of callers. That's okay. You know, I like to disagree. I mean, and I don't really like to disagree. I'd like to agree more than I disagree. You know. And you can weigh in, too. I think, look, this was about one thing and one thing alone. And so let's see if he's willing now to play ball. I don't know what Cleveland said to him. But you to sit there and tell me this was not NFL related. Okay, Ian. Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every touchdown.
Is he in? He's in! Touchdown Atlanta!
Slam dunk.
Bang!
Shot on goal.
Shot from distance. Score!
Home run.
It is gone!
All season. Hear it here.
Even on the weekends.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I just think the whole thing is fascinating. I really do. I don't know that. Well, Mike, somebody said, this is the most quarterback drama we've ever had. I'm like, oh, there's Mike Beck. But, yeah, it's drama, and it's orchestrated drama for a reason. I think some fans are missing that this is orchestrated. And Noel White, by the way, Noel, it's great to see you. It's been a minute, but to see you in person is is great.
It is. John, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been over a year and a half since I've been in studio.
I know. Like, I haven't seen John in person in so long.
Yeah,
he's been the man in the box for a while.
Yeah, well, I'll be here today. I'll be with you tomorrow, too.
Hey, look at that. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be with Oren on Monday night.
Ooh, yeah. We get a three-day special. I'm excited.
So, anyway, this is all orchestrated, and it's chess moves, and it's your move. Now it's the Falcons' move, and the Falcons' move is simple. And again, I'm just trying to analyze the situation. The agent, Ian Rappaport, says that this Chipotle tweet, and later on another one from the barbecue in Avon, that the Chipotle tweet that Kirk Cousins responded to in Cleveland was not NFL-related. Okay, then all the agent Mike McCartney has to say is, I agree with Ian Rappaport, this was not NFL-related, it had nothing to do with Jimmy Haslam or Shedeur Sanders or Kevin Stefanski or the Cleveland Browns or anything that Kirk Cousins has going on or not going on in Flowery Branch with the Falcons. He was in town because he loves this particular Chipotle, or he was in town for a charity event, whatever. But that's not what he said. He put out one tweet. Again, the agent put out one tweet. And that tweet said, who knew how much a visit to at Chipotle could blow up a guy's phone?
I heard an LOL behind that, John.
And this is right below his pin tweet, Mike McCartney's pin tweet, which lists the three things you can't do, you cannot do if you're a player that is playing poorly. Okay? And number three is stay off social media. Drown out the noise. It's all garbage in, garbage out, giggo, as they say. Why would the agent agree if his rules include you must stay off social media? Then how does he let the guy and I don't know who his other clients are, but there's no client that he has right now, Mike McCartney, that is more prominent, more in the news, more movable, more malleable than Kirk Cousins? He's a star quarterback in the NFL who's looking for a team because he wants to play. Nobody else, just that guy, okay? So why would he let his number one client at the moment, maybe his number one client overall, but his number one client certainly at the moment, go on social media, take a picture at a Chipotle in Cleveland, and then reply to it? Why would he do that? Because he wanted that out there for all of us to talk about. That was sent to Arthur Blank. Let's make no mistake. That was sent to Arthur Blank, who said to him, we'll do what's in the best interest of the team, because Kirk is sitting in Mr. Blank's office and says, I want to play. So, you know, and Arthur Blank says, well, then waive the no trade. And Kirk says, nah, I want to make sure that I go to a team that doesn't Michael Penix me like you guys did. I'm making stuff up, but we're pretty close here, okay? And Mr. Blank responds and says, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the team. This goes back to that conversation. Nothing comes out of Flowery Branch unless the Falcons want it to come out of Flowery Branch. You have to understand this. You have to be clear about this. Nothing comes out of Mr. Blank's office unless Mr. Blank and the Falcons want it to come out. And that came out for the simple reason, again, that was a chess piece. The NFL Network thing was a chess piece. That was a move. Blank counters with a move. Now Kirk's countered with another move by doing this tweet that his agent obviously knew about. And didn't countermand, so that Ian Rappaport says it wasn't NFL-related. All the agent has to do is say Ian's right, didn't say that. Now, Ian, you might want to check with the agent. Why didn't you say this? Because, what's he doing? He's meeting with the Browns to find out if the Browns are going to Shedeur Sanders him. That's what he wants to know. Are you going to draft a quarterback with the second pick overall? Because if you're not, then I'm interested in Kevin Stefanski. Again, three teams need quarterbacks. There's only two worth a rat's butt that are out there, unless you want to draft Jackson Dart and start a rookie. Those three teams are Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Minnesota, and all the indications from Minnesota are, you know, they're not ready. They're not on the – either J.J. McCarthy's still hurt worse than they're talking about, or they're just not – they're like looking at there's some development that needs to happen with J.J. McCarthy. Well, that's kind of – maybe both are true, but I think the latter's probably really true. Kevin O'Connell, who knows a little bit about playing quarterback – I only know that because when I was doing play-by-play, I know this is over here, when I was the play-by-play voice of San Diego State doing the Aztecs, go you mighty men of Montezuma Mesa, when I was doing play-by-play at San Diego State, our quarterback for the Aztecs was Kevin O'Connell. So I know Kevin, knows family. And Kevin knows a little bit about playing quarterback. And so if Kevin's looking at him going, no, he's not ready. Okay. You know, we'll see. You know, I mean, I think they look at Kirk Cousins going, could he go back to Minnesota? Sure. But he doesn't want to go back to Minnesota because he doesn't, you know, he's afraid that maybe he gets J.J. McCarthy'd, right? He doesn't necessarily, even though Minnesota's a really good team, I'm not sure he wants to go to Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh might sign him and then still draft Jackson Dart, right? And he doesn't want that to happen again. So he's in Cleveland asking the one question, will you Shedeur Sanders me? And now it's up to the Falcons to remind Kirk Cousins. The next chess move is maybe something for Flowery Branch to remind Kirk Cousins that we suddenly hear some sources are saying inside Flowery Branch of the Chipotle tweet that the Falcons maintain that they will do what's in the best interest of the team. In other words, what the Falcons would have, read between those lines, what the Falcons would have said in this case is they would have called Mike McCartney and said, sure, you can go to Cleveland if you want, but you got to drop your no trade prior to the draft. Because the Falcons, there's so many analysts out there who are saying that Kirk Cousins, is controlling this situation. He has no control over this situation.
No, you're right, John, because, you know, I sit here overnight sometime, and I'm running, you know, CBS here overnight, and they have a revolving door of people right now from 2 to 6. And I'm listening to them and their callers, and I heard something similar last week. It was like, well, you know, if I'm the Browns, I call the Falcons, and maybe you don't even have to give up a draft pick this year. Maybe you can give them a sixth round next year. And I'm like, y'all have no idea what's happening here, do y'all? Why would the Falcons do that? Why would they defer a draft pick they need right now and give the Browns everything they want and Cousins everything they want and take pennies in return? It makes no sense.
Of course it makes no sense.
Because
by the way, the Falcons won't do that.
Why would they?
Well, they won't. It's not a question of why would or wouldn't they. Arthur Blank will not do that.
No. So I'm listening to the national media give their take on this situation, and their tease every time was, I don't understand this situation. And then when I get to the segment, I'm like, no, you don't.
Right.
You're making it very clear. You don't.
You don't understand the situation.
Not understand the situation.
All right. Allie is in Decatur. I really appreciate, Allie, your being patient. Sorry, I know I'm getting long-winded on all this, but just trying to get everybody to understand.
Problem.
Yeah. So
no worries. I got 4 points for you, so I'll be as quick as possible. First, thank you so much for not talking about Coach Ra and his passing game coordinator abilities that you did for all last summer. I don't think that turned out great, but I'm just, just kidding with you there, but I agree with you.
By the way, I'll let you get to all your points. By the way, it did turn out well, pretty well for a while. I mean, it was really good there for 9 games.
Yeah, we were doing good, which is my second point. Y'all is, hey, you guys are stupid.
Yeah.
We is us. So I don't know what your sidekick before. I don't know what part of the South you grew up in. It's we and y'all. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, y'all is not me. Y'all is somebody else. If I say y'all, I'm talking about you, not me.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Gators or God forbid, Duke fans or whatever. Yes,
right. Absolutely. Anyway.
Third, which will bring me to my fourth, we should want a deferred draft pick. You want Fontenot to blow another pick? Here's how I'm looking at it. I cannot wait for this Netflix thing because it's going to, once and for all, prove what buffoons Fontenot and Coach Ra are. You said Arthur Blank hates lies the most.
Right.
He should hate incompetence just as much. So once you burn the bridge with Kurt, and you should know you burned that bridge because you thought you could make it work with these two quarterbacks, that he is going to probably lie about anything related to his performance/injury. So we're going to go see how naive these two clowns were and actually – it cost us a playoff spot because you would have gotten Penix ready in the bye and gone into the San Diego game, the L.A. Chargers game, with Penix. So I can't wait for that. I think we should want a deferred pick and let a new GM, a new head coach, hopefully in a year from now, make that pick. So Kurt's doing what he's going to do, and I agree with you guys. And you read that situation from the outside looking in. You know, and the two guys in the building can't read the situation. It's amazing to me.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I guess the way I analyze it is, if you're Terry Fontenot and you know you're under the gun, and you know, again, we can't know what they did or did not know. You say maybe it comes out. I don't think it'll ever come out, frankly, of what they did or did not know post the, you know, hit in the swamp, down in the swamp, to Kirk Cousins. You know, they claim
to watch every snap in practice.
I know. I'm with you. I get it. I don't have to go back over it because I know because we all said it on the air. Well, what's wrong with this?
Yeah.
But I think to the point of deferring the draft pick, I don't think that that's what they want. I think what they want to do is try and get a third.
Oh, no, they're not going to want to defer. Yeah, they should know if they don't know that their jobs are on the line.
Right, because
they're
going
to want it this year.
Right, because you need a third this year. You know, in theory, you know, if the guy, what you don't want to have to do necessarily is trade down for 15 in order to pick up a third. And what you really want out of a third round pick, in my estimation, is the ability to take a third round pick, pair it with your second round pick, and move back up in the second round. Because if nothing else in this draft, what do you need? You need your first and second round picks to be immediate impact players, and nothing else
they
matters.
They traded a third round pick for a Okoro, traded up like what 10 spots for a Okoro, and passed on Cooper DeJean and a multitude of others.
I'm not going to go back over. Who knows how good Rukororo is going to be? I think I thought I saw good things from him. I think Jeff Ulbrich is probably saying, "Why in the world wasn't this guy playing? We can't." I don't know what he's planning on doing. Obviously, I think they were comfortable enough that they let Grady go. So, I mean, as tough as that was. So I don't want to pretend that I'm reading anything into what Jeff Ulbrich, who knows he has to do it in year one, that this is a one-year shot here for him. You know, he came here on a one-year shot. You know, he's got to get it done. He fully understands what's going on here. He decided, okay, I'll take this one-year shot in Atlanta to make this work.
Well, I hope it is a one-year shot and there's accountability. I think Arthur Blank, knowing his makeup, is going to think, hey, I gave the last guy 3 years. I need to give Raheem 3 years. And that's what I'm definitely
Well, but that's not of. Raheem. That's not up to him. See, he's given Fontenot 4 years. If you hire a new GM, you're not getting a new GM who's going to accept the current coaching staff.
Yeah, that's by the transitive property or whatever you want to call it, they both come back for 2026.
No, but if you fire the GM, any new GM is going to come in, right, and say, I get to hire my own staff.
Agreed. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I think if he wants to give Raheem a third year, he'll give Fontenot another fifth year or whatever it is, sixth year.
Yeah, well, I don't see that happening.
I just don't see that happening
if he doesn't make the playoffs. I just don't see
I hope
that.
You're right, man.
Yeah, I just
hope
don't see that. Right. I think they're holding their feet to the fire here. Mr. Blank doesn't have any more time to waste with this. I appreciate it, Allie. Thanks so much. 404-726-0929. Yeah, I mentioned the old head Georgia Tech fans will know. Toe meets leather. Al Seraldo, the moment toe meets leather in the opening game of the Falcons season, Terry Fontenot's on the clock. He knows that. I know that. We all know that. The difference between me and Allie is I hope the Falcons win 11 games. I hope Michael Penix just roars. I hope this team does really well, wins the South. I want him to go to the playoffs. Oh, but that means Fontenot's back. Yeah, okay. And what the hell are you playing for? All right. Oh, but he sucks. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Quick break on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Frank and Cody are next. Oh, man. What's the next chess piece to fall in this drama of an offseason with this quarterback on Sports Radio 92 on the game?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Every touchdown.
Is he in? He's in! Touchdown, Atlanta!
Slam dunk.
Bang!
Shot on goal.
Shot from distance. Score!
Home run.
It is gone!
All season, hear it here.
Even on the weekends.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This whole thing is fascinating to me. It really is. Because partly it's fascinating because welcome back to the program live at 12:42 in the morning now. 12:42 in the morning. 12:42 in the afternoon. It's what happens. When I sit in this seat, I think morning. How many years did I occupy this seat in the mornings? It's so great to be back in studio. First time in a year and a half that I've actually been able to be in the studio here at Colony Square. But the whole thing is fascinating to me because I don't know how this ends. Does it end with Kirk Cousins sitting on the bench and just being cut at the end of the year and him sulking all year? And is that how it ends? Does it end with Kirk actually having to play for the Falcons at some point? I hope not. Does it end with him being traded? Well, I know this much. It's not going to end with him being cut. But I also know that the Falcons made it clear. Arthur Blank made it clear twice. I don't know why it's so hard for anybody to understand how clear he made it. They released snippets of a conversation between Kirk Cousins and Arthur Blank in the office for a reason. Nothing gets out of that office. Boys and girls, moms and dad, nothing gets out of that office unless the Falcons wanted to get out. Why would that be? There's no reporter in there. There's no way anybody would know what was said. Unless Kirk Cousins said something, which he didn't. The Falcons released it. And the Falcons released it because they wanted it known that Mr. Blank was clear. We will do what's in the best interest of this football team. That's number one. Okay? And what's in the best interest of this football team is that Kirk Cousins is not going to decide how this ends. And number two, after that, what do? They picked up a $10 million roster bonus. Why? Why would they make it clear and release the fact that Mr. Blank said, we are going to do what's in the best interest of the team, and then is it in the best interest of the team to pay that man who's not going to play another $10 million? Why would they do that? One reason and one reason alone. They're going to control this situation. And so Kirk Cousins, in his desire to try to control the situation, flies to Cleveland, takes snaps and posts them up or takes pictures with the employees at a Chipotle, replies to them against every rule that his agent has posted here about social media, stay off social media, as his pinned tweet. Again, and the agent didn't deny it. All the agent said is, who knew how much a visit to Chipotle could blow up a guy's phone? Well, what did you think? Of course he knew what was going to happen. Like I said, who knows? Maybe it was the agent who took the photo. Kirk was there, Ian Rappaport, not NFL-related. Oh, stop it. Yeah, I'm randomly going to go to, you know, make a tour of fast food restaurants in Cleveland at this time, given everything that's going on. Sure. Mm-hmm. Frank is with us on the waitford.com hotline to weigh in on all this. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good, man.
I miss you on the morning show also. You're a superstar. My son works for the Atlanta Falcons, and he's the guy that lines up the airplane trips for the agents and the draft picks to come in. And he's also the guy in the suit that walks around during the game checking all the different places to make sure there's food everywhere where it should be.
That's kind of cool.
But he told me.
What's his name?
He met Kirk Cousins and said that, you know, he's a good Christian man and a good family man. But I want to remind everybody, at the Tampa Bay game, he looked like a superstar and passed over 500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the coach of a team, and I had a guy pass the 500 yards on him to play too. But one thing my son told me after they drafted Penix, and Penix came in, and he shook hands with Michael Penix, he said that man had the biggest hands that he's ever seen. And he told me, he said, Dad, if you was to design a quarterback, he would look just like Michael Penix, 6'4", 230, runs a 4'4", 4'5", 40, and has got a strong arm. And so, you know, I've played football before. And when you've got a starting position and you see somebody that's backing you up, being a Superman like Penix was, I'm sure Kirk Cousins saw him in practice. The first thing that Kirk Cousins didn't want to happen was Michael Penix getting in the game, because he figured if Michael Penix got in the game, he would never play again. And you can't be mad at Coach Raheem, because they actually had Kirk Cousins listed as questionable after the New Orleans game when he got hit in the shoulder and the guy pulled his leg while he was sacking him. So two sacks, Kirk Cousins got hurt. So
okay, we know the history here, Frank. And yeah, it was a clerical error, that, according to Kirk Cousins, that he appeared for one day on the injury report, and that's it. I want to talk about now. Why would Kirk Cousins?
Well, right now,
why would he go to Cleveland? Why would he go to Cleveland and post a tweet from Chipotle?
I don't understand that at all.
Well, because he's talking to the Browns, correct? All right.
Yes, that's wrong. But the best thing for the Falcons to do is get him in preseason. And let him get out there in a preseason game and show the NFL he is still a premium starting quarterback. But
yeah, they don't have to do that.
I think Penix is a superstar.
Yeah, and that may be the case, Frank.
He's got the position from now on.
Yeah, but, I hope so. Well, that would be the case. That's certainly the plan. You know, let's hope he stays healthy and get him in a preseason game.
And he does great.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do that.
You know, everybody knows who he is. In the preseason is going to get hurt or something. Somebody's going to still need a quarterback.
Right.
But if he gets out there and proves himself.
He doesn't have to prove himself, Frank. Everybody knows who he is. He doesn't have to prove himself.
Yeah, but don't you think they would get more for him in preseason or maybe right before the trade deadline?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's in theory, it's possible that they could get more for him, yes. I mean, it's possible that they could hold on to him, you know. It depends on what the offer is. In other words, if they could get
a third-round draft pick, if somebody take over his $27 million contract.
Then they would make the trade tomorrow.
Yes, and then we could pick up another backup quarterback, which will cost us $5 to $10 million.
Not even that.
But that would give us over $20 million to spend on other free agents.
Well, no, I mean, you still have cap. But, yeah, I get your point. I appreciate it, Frank. Thanks much. Yeah, no, I mean, if you could get somebody to take there's cap, dead cap money here. It's not just quite as simple as that. But, no, I mean, if you could get somebody to offload the contract and, you know, just from a straight cash perspective, that you don't have to pay $27.5 million out of your own pocket. Notwithstanding the cap implications of that. Why would you pay him? Yeah, if you could get a third-round pick, you do it now. But the Falcons control the situation. Kirk Cousins doesn't, because the Falcons do have the trump card to play. And the trump card in all this is, Kirk, and by the way, I have no problem with him going to Cleveland and talking to the Browns. As a matter of fact, the Falcons probably encouraged it. They said, sure, go up there and talk to Jimmy Haslam. See if he's got something for you. Go. Falcons are saying, sure, if you can cut a deal, go knock yourself out. Now, we have to like the deal. We have to like the deal. But Kirk Cousins has free reign to go try and make a deal somewhere else. And if Kirk says, hey, I want to go play in Pittsburgh or Minnesota or Cleveland or something, and the Falcons are going to go, okay, we're on the phone with those guys. This is what we want. And if they go, no, we're not doing that. Okay, no deal. Hey, Cody, welcome to the show. Yeah, Kirk's got free reign to make a deal. The Falcons are not going to say no to that. Of course they're going to say yes.
What's up, John, man? Hey, happy Saturday. Hey and I just want to get off of this last listener. I hope he's still listening. A good Christian man doesn't lie to his teammates and doesn't lie to a whole fan base so another man can't come in and play a game. If it's God's plan for Michael Penix to come in and play, it's his plan. But lying is not a Christian way. So I want to start there with Kirk Cousins. Second with Kirk Cousins, he needs to look in the mirror. Any team that needs a quarterback is going to draft a quarterback. Youth always wins in the NFL. He's an aging quarterback, so if he wants to go start somewhere without someone behind his back, then he needs to just go ahead and let that go. I mean, it's the NFL. It's a cutthroat world. There's always the next coach. There's always the next GM. There's always the next quarterback. I mean, he needs to learn that he is an older quarterback and he's getting past his prime. I want to start there with that first off. If I was the Atlanta Falcons, I would probably break a record and make him the highest paid backup quarterback other than the locker room dynamics, because that's going to be weird, because I'm sure there's some type of animosity of him doing what he did to us. And that's where I would sit until someone offers me something I can't refuse, like a third round pick, like paying a salary, like giving us an awesome pass rusher. the Falcons need to play this like they got the ace in their hand and just let it be. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's what I would do, too. Well, again, that's what Mr. Blanket tends to do. It was Cody, we both agree. I don't know how some fans can't see how clear Mr. Blank has been by those two moves, by saying, by releasing the details of a private conversation, which they wanted out there. Falcons did want it out there by releasing the private details of a closed-door private conversation of Mr. Blank making it steadfastly clear to Kirk Cousins, we will do what's in the best interest of this football team, and then by paying him a $10 million roster bonus so that they can control the situation, that some of the national media seem to think that Kirk Cousins has an upper hand. They're not paying any attention.
Nope. You let him sit on the bench for the year if you got to. He's already scammed you out of the money. I mean, maybe. You might as well let it happen unless someone gives you an offer you can't refuse. But Kurt's also got to understand, if he's listening, by God, dude, there's always going to be someone behind your shoulder, no matter what job you do. Let that go. You are not Tom Brady. You're Kirk Cousins. You never even won a playoff game, dude. If Shador Sanders is there for the Browns to draft, let him draft him. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking in his head or who he thinks he is. It's just, it's unrealistic for Kirk Cousins to go somewhere.
Well, I think it's also unrealistic. I think it's doubly unrealistic of Kirk Cousins to think that he could hold this no-trade clause as a bargaining chip, Cody, and say, okay, they can't guarantee me that they won't draft Shador Sanders. Therefore, I'm not going to waive the no-trade. I'm not going to waive the no-trade till after the draft. And so I'm in control of that situation. And then the Falcons are not going to get a draft pick for this year, because at that point, the price for Kirk Cousins goes skyrocketing up if you're the Atlanta Falcons. In other words, we're going to keep you as the backup quarterback unless somebody wants to offer us something stupid like a first-round pick that we can't turn down.
Any team that needs a quarterback right now is not going to put all their eggs in a basket with Kirk Cousins. They're also going to draft a quarterback like the Atlanta Falcons did. There's no team that's quarterback needy that is going to say Kirk Cousins is the answer after what he did to us and how he played the latter part of the year. I mean, it's simple. I mean, it doesn't take that much thought to think about it. You know, the Falcons do now have the control.
Yes.
At first, I thought we were looking silly and Terry Fontenot was a deep state plant from the Saints, but it's kind of making sense now that we did. We already allocated that money and we have the control now. If a team needs a quarterback and wants that, then, you know, give us a third round for it or pay a salary or something, but we're going to let him sit on the bench for a year if that's the case, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. Appreciate it. Thanks much. Thanks, Cody. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Again, I just don't understand the analysis from national media. I don't understand the analysis of Ian Rappaport saying it's not NFL related. All right, let's talk to his agent. Hey, Ian. Oh, his agent said, who knew how much a visit to Chipotle could blow up a guy's phone? That was his tweet. After he puts a pin tweet up there saying, stay off social media, his agent knew exactly what was going on. Why would you tweet from a Chipotle and a barbecue in Cleveland and then reply to it if you're Kirk Cousins? I like chicken with my salad or whatever the hell he said. Unless you wanted it out there, because we're going back and forth and ping-ponging here because he's trying to play a public relations game with the Atlanta Falcons, trying to play leverage with the Atlanta Falcons in a place where he has no leverage. The national media doesn't understand. Kirk Cousins has no leverage. The Falcons control this situation. End of story. All right. Quick break. And what Alex Anthopoulos said about the Bull, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.